The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Janier. That's something new from Bob Dio. Thank you, Bob. I had never thought of that. Not only are you my engineer and producer, you're my friend, so you're my friend-geneer. There you go. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, April the 9th, 2019. I hope the week is off to a good start for you. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course at kvoi.com, all of our programs available on podcast, on your schedule 24/7. Again, buckmastershow.com is the place, so check it out. We've got all sorts of great information at buckmastershow.com, including all the bios of our great contributors who regularly appear on our program. Today, we resume our interview series presented by Pima Community College, our kind of every other month interview series. It's a chance for me and our listeners to hear from the talented and dedicated educators at Pima Community College. Today, we talk with Regina Suit. Regina is Pima Community College Vice President of Adult Education. She oversees the adult basic education for the college and career department. Regina will talk with us today about Pima's integrated basic education and skills training known as IBES program. Regina, nice to see you. Thanks for coming in. We interviewed you a couple of years ago on the phone, so it's great to have you in studio.
It's so great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me here today.
Tell me a little bit about the IBES program. It's been around, I think, now probably 5 years, right?
Right. So IBES, the Integrated Basic Education and Skills Training, is a instructional model that actually started in Washington State about 12, 13 years ago. It was something that we kept seeing. So we, Pima Community College, we took a field trip to Washington State. We went to see the colleges that were utilizing it and decided to bring it back to Pima as a best practice. So what it basically does is it takes a GED seeker. It helps them get their GED and a technical certificate or credential at the same time. So it accelerates both of the programs because adults are busy, they have busy lives, and everything is contextualized to the technical program. So they're not just learning about reading, writing, and math kind of in isolation. They're learning about those learning those skills and competencies, and they're directly related to the occupation, the program that they're in. And it works really well because adults learn best when things are contextualized.
Well, this concurrent program takes approximately how long?
Well, we try to pick programs that are a little under a year, uh-huh, because it takes about a year for most people to get through and pass the GED test. Mm-hmm. So we don't want it to be so short that they finish the occupational program, but they don't finish the GED test. So we pick programs and we make them generally about 1 year.
What are some of the programs available?
So when we started, we did one in hotel and restaurant management. We have done them in behavioral health services. We started a machine tool technology one last year that just finished not too long ago, as well as medical assistant. There's such a need for medical assistants. I think that will be an ongoing program that we do.
There's a huge shortage of those.
Right, and then we just in January started logistics and supply chain management.
There's a huge shortage in that area. I know from my wife being in that field. Believe me, I know they just can't find enough young people.
Right.
Young people, but anybody that's interested in getting into that field. There's some great opportunities.
And then the last one that we started this year is in industrial technology or mechatronics. Mm-hmm. I like to say mechatronics because that sounds way, more exciting. Mechatronics.
Yeah. So what's the success rate been? These students, they're doing well or better than students who've already graduated from high school who enroll in some of the courses?
So here's, what we kind of did differently at Pima Community College than what Washington State does is mm-hmm. in Washington, they only have GED seekers in the IBIS programs. What we decided to do was take anyone who needs some basic skills help. So they might have come to the college with a diploma, but if they need some basic skills help, we're going to put them in an IBIS cohort because we know that it works really well for anybody that needs that extra help. So we have an 80% completion rate with IBIS programming and for both sides, the GED seekers and the folks that are just getting the extra help in reading, writing, or math.
There's a huge shortage of, you just can't have enough adult education in this community. You were telling me before we did the interview today out in the green room that we have how many, the dropout percentage here is one of the highest in the country.
Right. So even though our graduation rate has increased slightly over the last few years, we're still a 48th as far as graduation rate. So that means, the people don't disappear, the rest of those folks that didn't graduate. And it might take them a few years to get things in order, to see what mm-hmm. they need to do to, progress, get a job. They're all going to have to come back to school.
Right.
And so in Pima County, out of the million or so in the population, about 12% don't have a high school diploma or equivalent. It's roughly 80,000 people. And then there's thousands more who need to learn English. And that's the other thing that we do in adult basic ed.
You are a product of adult education in so many ways. Your mother was an immigrant to this country, came from Germany, settled in Iowa. And you saw firsthand growing up the importance of adult education.
I did. I like to reflect on her story as so many of our students and their stories are so different. Our students are such hardworking, driven folks. They, the ones that come back after dropping out of school, the folks that are learning English, they all want to be better parents and better community members. They want to have good jobs. They are very hardworking people, best students I could ever ask for. And it's kept me in this business for 28 years.
How many people, especially in the immigrant community, there are so many people that want to learn English, right? And mm-hmm. the need there is huge.
Well, we serve about 6,000 students in our program, but there's probably triple that would benefit from our classes. And we try to work with community groups to serve the need larger than what we can serve, basically. About 60% of our program is adult basic ed, so GED seekers, and then 40% is English language.
How does someone get into the IBIS program?
So we recruit in a few different ways. The college recruits for people, like if they come into an assessment center and test at a certain level. We recruit in our classes, so our current GED students. We do a lot of marketing on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We really want to maybe appeal to those people that thought, oh, I don't have time to get my GED and go to college. Mm-hmm. What we've done with IBIS is put it together so that they can do both at the same time. And we fully support students in the IBIS program. And I think that is why we bring every tool the college has to these students. And they're in a cohort, so they learn together. They become like family. We want to market that they're not alone when they come into an IBIS program.
They can keep their regular day job, so to speak.
A lot of our IBIS programs we try to have at night.
Okay.
So that they can do that. And mm-hmm. For example, the medical assistant program that just finished mm-hmm. up was at night at Desert mm-hmm. Vista campus. They came four nights a week after many of them had worked all day long.
Regina Suda is with us. Regina is the Vice President of Adult Education at Pima Community College. And adult education is really... has been and is the cornerstone, one of the cornerstones of what you do, right? The mission at Pima.
Correct. Adult basic ed is able to build bridges and on-ramps to get people onto these career pathways that they need for livable wage jobs. And the college is committed to providing access to the entire community, no matter what level they come in at. And adult basic education and IBEST gives people access to every college program that we offer at Pima Community College.
Should folks go to the website? Is that a good starting place? Or what?
Yes, they could go to the website, www.pima.edu, mm-hmm. and they can, in the search box, search for adult education, or they could search for IBEST if they were specifically wanted to get information about IBEST. They could also call 206-7330 next week, because we're moving this week, actually.
Okay.
And we can give them information over the phone as well.
The cohorts start on a, what, every couple months?
We actually, because they're year-long programs,
right.
we usually start them like in January or August.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if folks are interested, perhaps they can get involved and start the process toward August.
And if they're not quite ready for our IBEST programs, mm-hmm. they can get into the adult basic ed classes, and they can get into our early IBEST programs, which prepare them to be into the IBEST, to go into the IBEST programs.
Sounds like a winner. Regina, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Regina Suit, Pima Community College Vice President of Adult Education, talking about an outstanding program, really helping the labor pool here with some very talented people. It's called the Integrated Basic Education and Skills Training, the known as IBAS program. So more information at pima.edu. Well, we're going to have some more information about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Are you ready for a Danish Kringle right now, Reen?
Yes.
there you go. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Soon they will be serving a hot breakfast. They've got the grill in, just waiting for all the permits, so that's just days away. They're open right now, though, for lunch, northeast corner Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery.com. And of course, there's a link not only to Mona's Danish Bakery, but all of our great partners, including Pima Community College. So if you just go to buckmastershow.com, that's another easy way to do a direct link to Pima Community College and all the great programs they offer. We'll be right back. Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, starting his European sojourn. He's in Amsterdam. He's on the live line, and he's next. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, tours daily, biosphere2.org.
There's still time this year for you to donate your 2018 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 40 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes that you wish to support. It's easy to donate online and feel good at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Shelly Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And I'm going to consult right now on the Buckmaster Show live line overseas as Shelly Fishman begins his European fact-finding trip. Shelly is in Amsterdam today. Shelly, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. What's the weather like in Tucson?
Oh, the hottest day of the year so far. Actually going to be 95, but then tomorrow the big winds kick up and it drops 20 degrees. So hopefully we'll hold off on the hot weather. Are you sure you're in Europe? Your phone line sounds like you might be just in Bob Dio's control room or something. It sounds great.
I'm hiding in Bob's control room. Actually, you're 95. We're about 59 here. The weather has been just beautiful, bright sunshine. Wind from the north, as always, and this is, after all, beginning of April in the North Country. So it's been wonderful so far, but certainly more chilly than we're used to down in the desert.
I love that time of year, actually. Been over in the Netherlands in May a couple of times, and I love this time of year, this transition time. I can see it right now, those puffy white clouds.
Not to mention the tulips.
Those puffy white clouds just moving very quickly as they're blown basically west to east or off the North Sea. Oh, I can see it right now, and I'm sure you're going to have a fabulous trip. I bet Brexit is the big story in the Netherlands.
Well, there's three big stories right now. The first for today, of course, is the Israeli elections, which are really taking more press time here in Europe than they are in the States. But early exit polls are showing that the blue and white party of Benny Gantz is 3 or 4 points ahead of the Likud party. And its chief, Benjamin Netanyahu. But in a parliamentary system, what's really important is the ability to form a government. And it seems that even if Benny Gantz's party wins a few more seats than does the Likud party, Netanyahu still has the edge on being able to form a government. So it's kind of unknown right now where this is going to go. From what I can see in the early polls, nobody has the edge that we can actually call anything.
So that's one of the three big stories, correct?
Yes, Brexit is the second, and Brexit is also a story that has so many possibilities that you kind of your mind just kind of boggles. As of Friday, England or the UK. Is supposed to kind of crash out of the EU. because there is no plan, nothing has been accepted, and the extension that gave them till the 12th of April will run out. Everybody believes that Prime Minister May will be able to get some sort of extension, but the question is, what happens then? One of the possibilities is that indeed the UK will crash out, there'll be no deal, and havoc will reign. One of the other possibilities, probably more possible than a Brexit without any rules, is that there'll be some sort of deal between the Labour Party, led by Jeremy Corbyn, and Mrs. May's party, the Conservatives, that will at least allow the UK to stay in the tariff union and the customs union, such that the problem with Ireland and not to mention all of the borders between the UK and the EU won't get thrown into turmoil. The most likely outcome, I believe, is that there'll be a very long extension. We don't know for how long. We don't know what that will result in. And then the speculation just goes on and on and on. Will there be another referendum? Will people in Britain just kind of yawn and let this thing go away on its own? We just don't know. But it's, as always, with what you and I talk about every week, which is investments. Anytime you have that kind of uncertainty, it plays turmoil with the markets, and that's what's happening right now.
Looking at the Wall Street numbers, it's another off day. Yesterday was off, today off as well. The new job report came out, and there was a good increase, right, in worker pay. I think those were last week's unemployment numbers.
Yeah, the unemployment numbers on Friday came out well ahead of expectations. The expectation was in the area of about 170,000 jobs. The actual number came out to about 200,000. The prior month, which was abysmal at 20,000, was modified up. I think it was 8,000, but still an abysmal number. But when you draw a reduction line through the numbers for the last 12 months, it averages out to about 180,000 jobs a month. That's a little lower than we had in the 8 or 9 years, the 8 years of the Obama administration, but it's pretty much on track where it was before. What was, however, exceptional this month was that the average wages, mostly on the very low end of the scale, which pushed things up, but the average wages were up almost a point and a half above the inflation rate, so about 3.6%, where the inflation rate is, you know, around 2%. So that was good news. It shows a tightening of the labor market, which stayed nominally at 3.8%, but actually tightened up somewhat.
And the Fed meeting is coming up soon?
Oh, gosh, the Fed. So the Fed is threatened to be stacked with a couple of people whom I consider to be wholly unqualified for the job. But they are Trump proponents. Trump understands that if you keep interest rates low and you keep on stimulating the economy, unless you have very, very high inflation, that will be stimulative and it will make the economy appear to be growing faster than it would if you had more of a kind of an equilibrium. I would point out that if you're in the real estate business, lower interest rates would allow you to pay off your very, very high levels of debt at a much lower charge. That said, it also makes it much easier for the United States to pay off its debt at a lower interest rate. So, you know, this is something that economists will argue about back and forth from now until eternity. The equilibrium that the Fed has maintained over the past 30 or 40 years, independent of the executive branch, is now threatened somewhat. And most economists are saying that is problematic.
Shelley, how was the trip over?
Oh, it was uneventful. And you know,
good.
When you're making connections out of Tucson and flying all the way to Europe, uneventful is a good thing.
Very good.
It was really great. And the weather here was wonderful when we landed. It was almost 70 degrees on Sunday and close to 70 on Monday. Today it's gotten much colder, and it's expected to be, you know, in the 40s and low 50s and windy for the next couple of days. But the sun is shining.
Good. And over the coming weeks, we'll hear from you not only from the Netherlands, but also you will be in Norway as well. So that's going to be interesting.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it. Next week, we're coming again from the Netherlands. I will have been to Brussels and Belgium and back, and then we're off to parts to the north and the west up in the North Sea.
All right, Shelley. I hope. Well, it's quite late over there, so get some rest. Thank you, Shelley, for your report. We'll look forward to hearing you a week from today from the Netherlands. Thanks.
I look forward to it.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. Buckmaster with you on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Remember, when you're over at Green Things, they're now the home to Zocalo and all that wonderful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. For years, Zocalo was over there at by Country Club and Broadway. Well, they're now part of the Green Things family on their 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to greenthingsaz.com for more information. Anthony Jimeno is a sports journalist who has spent much of the past two decades covering U of A athletics, including covering the football beat for the Arizona Daily Star and the Tucson Citizen. Anthony is senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals. He is also co-founder of the local blog, which is doing very well, allsportstucson.com. He is the co-author of a book on Arizona basketball, 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Anthony with us on the live line. Anthony, how are you feeling?
So-so. You know, I've got one of those bugs that are floating around town.
Well, you sound very, we would never know you're ill, but I will tell you, this has been the longest running cold and flu season in a long, long time here. Normally, it kind of peaks in February, so you've got plenty of company. Let's begin with basketball. USA Today, believe it or not, Anthony, and I think you will believe it, is out with their pre-season. I mean, my goodness, we're less than 24 hours after Virginia was crowned the NC2A men's basketball champion. USA Today out with their top 25 for next season. And guess what? U of A is number 25. And that's based, of course, on the recruiting class, said to be the best in the country.
Yeah, I think, everybody right now has their way too early rankings out. It's what you do, like the second the national championship game goes final, you hit publish on that one. But I think Arizona's very, very early meaningless rankings are kind of going to be all over the board because there's still a lot to be determined with the roster. You mentioned the top-rated recruiting class, of course. At this point, I expect, you know, Chase Jeter, right after the season, was kind of non-committal about his future. I expect him to be back. I do not expect Brandon Randolph to return. I don't think Dylan Smith is going to return. But Jeter's kind of the linchpin there. And Devonair Dutrieve should be back and helping out probably in a reserve role, but certainly as a piece for the future. He's a really important guy for Arizona to retain. So I think all in all, the off-season transactions will probably work out pretty well for Arizona if all they lose is Randolph and Dylan Smith, combined with this recruiting class of Nico Mannion and Josh Green and a bunch of other really talented guys. So they look like they'll be talented enough and deep enough, again, but it's only April 9th, but signs are pretty good, but it's kind of hard to know where to put them. I think they could have top 10 talent, but I've also seen ESPN, their bracketologist guy, has Arizona as like as an 11th seed already for next year's tournament.
Oh my God.
which is way out of the top 25. So,
wow.
We'll just see. Like I said, it's kind of meaningless, but I think the early indications on how the roster may shape up they're pretty good.
I think one thing we will see are more people at the women's basketball after the very successful women's national invitational tournament. Yes, this was something that gave a lot of people a feel and a taste for the kind of basketball that's played and the women's level, and many people walked away very pleased, and I think it's great exposure, and they'll probably sell, who knows, my friend and host of the Steve Rivera Eye on the Ball show was saying yesterday maybe 1,500 additional season tickets, but it's good for the women for sure. Good for the town.
Yeah, it was so great because it was completely organic.
Yes.
It just happened. And that's like that's when things are at its best. It wasn't a trick of marketing or anything. It just, I think all the right things came together where they had a good season, young talent that people began to get introduced to during the year, great personable coach, which helps a lot. And honestly, the fact that the men weren't playing, I think allowed Tucson to turn their attention to something else.
Yeah.
And it was, the NIT ended up working out so much better than an NCAA bid would have for the women.
Yes.
Because that would have been, you know, they play at somebody else's home court and maybe they lose in the first round and none of this happens. But instead they get some really winnable games at home and they're able to build momentum. And it does look like something that's sustainable because like most of the team is back. They really should challenge for maybe a top four spot in the Pac-12 next year. And keep in mind that the Pac-12 women, they're about the best league in the country as opposed to the Pac-12 men, compete for an NCAA berth, and Adia Barnes is going to keep the ship going, I think. So, yeah, I think they've found something maybe very similar to how the softball program 25, 30 years ago kind of established their base, and they became – as I told Steve last week, they became the darlings of Tucson.
Yeah, it really evolved.
And they sustained that, of course, through a lot of winning.
Sure.
But, you know, people go out to Hillenbrand even when, even the last several years, when they're not getting to the World Series. So I think it's something that's fascinating and sustainable. They have a great product. So my hat's off to them. They did a fantastic job.
Anthony Jimeno is with us on 1030 The Voice. Anthony is one of two dozen or so contributors on a regular basis to the Buckmaster Show, and he's the senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals. That means that his story for Lindy's is probably already done.
Well, not until after the spring game, which is Saturday. So
yes.
We have to wait till all the information is in.
Yeah.
See how they look and see who gets hurt and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, we're probably a few weeks away from actually, like, finalizing projections and stuff like that. But, you know, I think the prognostications for Arizona will be pretty modest after a 5-7 season. There's some nice pieces there, of course, and Khalil Tate's really hard to peg. Is he the guy he was for part of the 2017 season when he looked like the best player in America, or is he going to be the guy he was last year when he looked like just another college quarterback? And that's a real hard one to figure out too.
And he also has this new, put quotes around it, new attitude, perhaps.
It's spring, so we'll see. you know, to their credit, they, you know, the Khalil Tate and the coaches are all kind of saying the same thing and all saying the right thing, that they're more on the same page this year, they better know how to use his talents, etc. You know, I think that's always a wait and see until the season starts and see how it looks. But he's a huge, huge X factor. But to me, the limiting factors are they're not very deep on the offensive and defensive lines. And that's not a great way to be when you're trying to figure out preseason projections. I mean, I think that's kind of put the ceiling on it. Now, maybe there'll be guys who step up and surprise, but I would expect kind of middling projections, and Utah will probably be picked to win the South again. They return a lot from last year's team that won the division.
And I realize, of course, Kevin Sumlin, Coach Sumlin, it was his first year yesterday, but the pressure now, Anthony Jimeno, begins to build about putting people putting fans in the stands. I don't know if the schedule looks that favorable this year. How does it look?
That's a good question.
I think they've got They've got, I think, seven home games, if I'm I think it's seven. But that, you know, the whole thing is you got to get off to an early start, a good start. And you know the way this town is. If they don't, it will reflect very quickly in attendance at Arizona Stadium.
Yeah, I think we saw that last year.
Yeah.
There was a lot of optimism going into the season, and the schedule looked pretty favorable. They had this Heisman candidate in Khalil Tate, and then they lose a couple games early in the non-conference that they weren't expected to, and it never recovered. I guess you can make the case of, like, the women's basketball. People like coming out to see a winner,
yep,
for sure. So, you know, this season starts with NAU at home. It's a season opener, which usually draws well. They have Texas Tech here. They have UCLA here. They have Washington here.
And ASU.
Utah comes here.
ASU, yeah.
ASU is up there.
Yeah. Oh, it's at, that's right. It's at, yeah, ASU.
And
okay.
It's at USC. And USC is traditionally a huge draw in Tucson, although last year it wasn't.
No.
They had like 42,000, 43,000. And there had only been about one case in the last 25, 30 years where they had drawn less than 50,000 for the USC game.
Wow.
So that tells you how things went downhill after that, after the poor start.
All right. Anthony, I'm going to have to let you go, and thank you very much for talking some sports with us. So we'll talk more sports with your colleague at All Sports Tucson when his show begins, which is doing very well. Steve Rivera's Eye on the Ball show from 1 to 3, doing very well here. It's off to a great start. Thanks, Anthony.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Anthony Jimeno with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Margaret Regan joins us from the Tucson Weekly right after this break. And we want to tell you quickly about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Good starting place is Southwest New Mexico. Just spell that out, .org. There you'll find all the wonderful places to stay and great recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Again, just a three-hour drive to a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
There's still time this year for you to donate your 2018 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 40 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes that you wish to support. It's easy to donate online and feel good at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, where the Fox Tucson Theater Foundation is thrilled to announce the triumphant return of our mighty Wurlitzer organ. This Saturday, come celebrate the refurbished Wurlitzer organ played by professional organist Ron Rode, debuting during a screening. This is going to be fun. Buster Keaton's 1920 silent film, 1 week. Tickets are $25 for general admission. It's a fundraiser for the community. Funds will be used to cover the restoration, installation, and maintenance expenses for this gorgeous theater organ. Be sure to visit Fox Tucson Theater's website to view all of the great April entertainment choices. Let's go now to the longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer, Margaret Regan. Margaret is also the author of two prize-winning books on immigration, the most recent, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, and her earlier book, The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands. Both those books still doing very well on Amazon. All the attention to immigration, and that has brought a lot of attention to Margaret's books. I didn't realize, Margaret, that you spoke fluent French.
Well, let's say it was fluent at one time.
At one time.
I was a French major in college, and my junior year in Paris.
And the French editor for TV Guide magazine.
Yeah,
so.
Now, there was a first job out of college, a French major getting a job using her French.
Wow.
Now, that was because TV Guide, you know, that was the biggest selling magazine in America in those days. And they had editions that covered the French language programs in Canada, in Eastern Canada and in New England.
Yeah.
So they needed somebody to edit the listings. You know, remember TV Guide? And each show would be described in a paragraph.
Of course.
So I was a copy editor for those paragraphs, and I did it in French and in English.
Mm,
so how about that?
Very good.
But I will say my French has deteriorated since my TV Guide days.
Let's talk about your soon-to-be-published upcoming Tucson Weekly pieces. There's a couple of pieces we want to bring attention to our listeners. The American Stories at Etherton. Let's begin with that one.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, Etherton always does such a good job with photography. And I thought this show was really fun. It's not, you know, like a serious, you know, capturing bad things in life kind of show. A lot of it is just really fun and quirky. And in fact, the headline I gave it is America the Quirky. And it's about three photographers capturing the U.S. from sea to shining sea. So the one that I spent the most time on in my story is Bill Owens, who's now in his 80s, but a very well-known photographer for his early series on suburbia in California. He had been a Peace Corps worker in Jamaica as a young man. This is in the 60s. And he comes back, and he's become pretty much of a photographer in Jamaica, taking pictures of local people. So he gets a job with a newspaper in a distant suburb from San Francisco, you know, late 60s, early 70s. That's when all that land was being developed into these suburban tract house community. Mm-hmm. And he just couldn't get over what he saw at first, you know, the contrast to Jamaica, and here everybody had their house and two cars and lots of food. And so he kind of memorialized the lifestyle of those people. And he said, you know, really, I got converted pretty quickly, because who doesn't want a nice house and a car and a refrigerator full of food? But so you've got all these great pictures of people barbecuing in the backyard. And the picture I really loved was, you know, I've always been an enemy of these tract houses where they put the big garage door out front.
Uh-huh.
They always look to me like gravestones, you know, and they're so deadly as far as community relations. But this was brand new then. So he's got a wonderful picture of a family that's sitting at the edge of their garage of an evening, sitting on their lawn chairs. It's like they're still using the garage as the porch that they might have had a generation before.
America's front porch, right there with the garage door
right.
open.
Right, yeah. And, it, you know, it just kind of shows the failing, mm-hmm. in my view, of that type of architecture where, you know, the car's out front and the people are nowhere to be seen. It just doesn't encourage community. So they're really interesting. These became very famous. He made them into a book. And of course, nowadays, with all the interest in mid-century modern architecture, and, you know, he's very hot right now. So, and it's nice because, you know, he's towards the latter part of his life, and he's getting a lot of attention for these all over again. And then there's another gentleman from Wales who was good friends with a professor at ASU. His name is David Hearn. So he used to come out to Arizona a lot. So again, same time period, 60s, 70s, 80s. And he took these wonderful black and white pictures of Arizona at that time. Again, you know, just very quirky. Senior citizens exercising outdoors under palm trees. You know, there was one picture of an elderly guy riding slowly on his bicycle under the saguaros. It's just a really fun and kind of nostalgic thing. And he even has a last roundup. You know, you could see the Arizona that was fading in the face of these new people, some cowboys, you know, who've wrestled a horse.
So you got you have Bill Owens, David Hearn, and David Graham about
yes.
his cultural landscapes.
Yeah, and I always like, you know, my hometown is Philadelphia, Bill.
Yes.
So this guy is from Philadelphia. He teaches in Philadelphia, but he also travels all around the country, and he makes what he calls cultural landscapes. So he's got all these really fun pictures. There's a giant black and white cow statue in Dairy Ridge, Wisconsin, a pink neon lit motel in New Mexico. You know, so you get these kind of regional false gods, I guess you would say. They could be like the statues, you know, on the that Moses found on the mountain, you know, the people, the false gods that people are honoring. But so they're very fun.
And that show closes April 20th at Etherton downtown.
Right.
So check it out.
Not too much time to go and see it.
All right. Quickly, you also wrote a short intro to the new memoir written by the acclaimed Tucson artist Chris Rush. That's going to be in the weekly as well.
Yeah. Well, this is all new to me. I've known Chris Rush's visual artwork for years, and I think he's a brilliant painter. I wrote a little intro just saying who he was, because the weekly is excerpting a chapter from his new memoir, and I talked about he did these beautiful portraits of extremely disabled young children years ago, but he just magnified them with light and kind of, you know, sanctified them in a way, and just this very beautiful and serious way, and that work really got him a lot of attention and put him on his way. Little did I know, the last 10 years, he's been working on a memoir of an adolescence, you know, his own adolescence, that is unlike anything you could even imagine. Coming from a big Irish Catholic family in New Jersey, well off, and the neglect of the children in this family. He became a drug addict at a very early age, doing the drugs down there in the cellar. They kept sending him to boarding school. And and finally, he ends up in the West. I mean, it's just a very packed, very, very disturbing, but also kind of transcendent kind of a book. So, yeah, so I just wrote a little preview of that for the readers who will be able to catch the chapter of when he's living in Tucson as an early on as a young man.
All right, Margaret, we're going to have to run. Margaret Regan, okay. Thank you very much from Tucson Weekly. Always appreciate your support. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Be sure to visit the Tucson Fox Tucson Theater website to view all of the April entertainment choices. How about this? The Mighty Wurlitzer Organ, the preview concert, and silent film is this Saturday. Then comedian Patton Oswalt performs Sunday the 14th. The Music Box, a Genesis extravaganza, is April the 18th. Friends, the musical parody, is on Saturday the 20th. And then John Anderson of Yes in his 1,000 Hands tour. That's April 23rd. That's going to be a great show. Tickets and more information at foxtucson.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Bob Dio, my friend-geneer, engineered friend, thanks, Bob. Another great show. We've got Steve Rivera, Eye on the Ball, next. I am Bill Buckmaster. On 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Have a great afternoon.